Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. It's time now for Cuz Radio.
What up, Cuz?
Deshaun Jackson gets a block. Are you kidding?
Talking with the Cuz.
Yo, Cuz. How you doing?
Stairs rips one into the night.
Stolen by the doctor. Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
Look, Cuz, don't even try it, okay?
Now here's Anthony Gargano.
Why don't you get the hell out of here, Cuz?
Buddy, happy Friday to all across the Delaware Valley. I gotta tell you, this is the most bizarre story, and we've had a lot of bizarre stories, right? Crazy stories over the last 5 years. I mean, something just mind-boggling to me. So yet another one drops, and it's the Eagles' new head coach, Nick Sirianni. And it dropped yesterday, right as we were leaving. So we get off the air at 1:53. I go into our production suite where Miss Ron is there, and I record a commercial. I come out, it's 1:58. Chunis is there, and he's going, Shefty tweeted, he's yelling to Mike. Shefty tweeted, it's done, it's Sirianni. He's the next Eagles coach. Now, we know yesterday it was between Sirianni and Josh McDaniels. At least we gathered that. And it turns out it's Sirianni. So, yesterday, I spent the bulk of the day in after Cousins Corner at night trying to text people to find out anything I could about the whole thing. Now, it's the weirdest thing in the world. Now, normally, when we have these stories, I come in with an opening monologue, right? I give you my opinion, and it's usually a strong opinion. I try to back it up with, my own argument. I formulate my argument, whatever it is. This is how I do for any kind of story. And then we have a discussion, right? And I'm usually firmly entrenched on one side of the fence or the other. Except, I don't know Nick Sirianni, right? I don't know him. He's from a different tree. Like, I'm obviously, a lot of my people that I speak to regularly are from the Andy Reid tree from the early 2000s when I was covering them and I was writing books about them and long magazine stories for Philly Mag. So I got to know all those coaches, and of course they went on to be head coaches and have trees, and you get friendly with people and this and that, and it's kind of how it works, right? And so there's guys around the league, but I don't know the Sirianni tree, right? He comes from Kansas City pre-Andy, then he's with the Chargers, and then he's with the Colts, and he makes his rise, and that's it. That's all I know. That Wright called the plays. He's some guy that has a bright future, smart, knows both sides of the ball. All right. I mean, I can't tell you I feel good or bad, right? I know that he's become a polarizing figure because of who they did not hire. The only thing that I got, the only thing that I feel is I didn't want McDaniels. I just had this, McDaniels. It's kind of a hate the face. I was not digging the Josh McDaniels. So this guy's an unknown. All right. Now, Andy Reid was an unknown when he came in 1998 after Ray Rhodes. And I've witnessed Andy Reid's rise and how he was. I mean, he was turned out to be obviously a great coach. Now, I don't know. This guy could be a great coach, wind up being a great coach, or he could be another stooge and he gets bounced in 2 years. I have no idea. I can't tell you. I remembered Andy, and I had spoken to Andy pre-comeback to Philly when I was covering the NFL in New York and doing a lot of Green Bay stuff. So I'd written stories on Holmgren when I was at the Post and doing a lot of these long features. And so I'd spoken to Andy before, well, a couple times. But I don't know Nick Sirianni, so I don't know him, you know, from anything. From, you know, Nicky Santoro. I have no idea who he is. I don't know what his philosophies are. So I embark on my journey yesterday trying to find out what I can about him. So there's two things that I come away with. There are people that like him and think he's smart and think he was is going to be a really good coach and knows both sides of the ball and the whole thing. All right. Okay. Then there's another side that says he gets the job because he can be controlled by Lurie and Roseman. That's the other side of the coin. That he could, you know, he's a possible stooge because Jeffrey Lurie still wants to run this team. Right? So, I don't know. I don't know. Is he controllable? Maybe. He's 39 years old, first-time head coach. You know, the Eagles give him the opportunity. He feels indebted. He listens to the owner and the GM. And we know that's not a good recipe right now. Listening to the owner and the GM, right? We know that. So, I don't know. I don't know what they're going to get. Now, some people tell you that Deuce was not going to be controlled. And that was one of the reasons why he didn't get it. Now, I don't know. I have no idea. I do know this, that the talk that Deuce did not get along with Wentz, and that was one of the reasons why, I was told that's nonsense. But again, I have no idea of this guy. And I'd be lying to you if I came on and gave you one of these really strong opinions either way. I wasn't in on the interview process. I didn't hear the guy. I don't know the guy's plan, right? Like, people will tell you things, but there's an agenda there. So I can't just parrot the agenda and tell you all the litany of great things that he did in the interview and how he wowed you. I can't do it, right? Because I don't know. I didn't hear it my own two ears. So I can't convey that to you. So I'm sitting here in this odd place, like you guys, not knowing anything, going, the best thing I can do is have an open mind and go, you know, listen to someone who follows this team like you guys, who genuinely, since I sit in this chair, who I want to see do well. You know, I mean, I'm going to hope that things work out. And I hope that he's the next Andy Reid and he's this brilliant dude. I don't know about Deuce. You know, I understand you. If you want a Deuce, I completely get it. Believe me, I understand it. You know the guy, you know the name. There's a part of us, especially in our city, that believes, well, my man was there, and he did his time, and he deserves to be rewarded. That's a mindset, right? That's a Philadelphia working man's mindset. I understand it. I don't know what Deuce's plan was. I don't know. I didn't sit there and listen to. I can't tell you. Then I know that there has been a racial tinge to the conversation. I know that was a story nationally. Why not Eric Bieniemy? Right? Now, I don't know. But if we're talking about African-American candidates, the guys that would interest me was not Eric Bieniemy, but was Byron Leftwich. And I'm a Todd Bowles guy. I think second time around, I think Todd Bowles would have been will do a really good job. I think he would have been really happy had Todd Bowles been the guy. And I don't hold the Jets thing, it's Jet poison on him. I think he's really smart, and I think he would have been a great leader. But I sit here today, and I go, I don't know. I mean, I knew a lot about Joe Brady, so he interests me. But I can't tell you about Nick Sirianni. Tunis, it's weird.
Yeah.
Good morning, my brother.
What's going on? I would love to start off by saying I know a lot about Nick Sirianni. No, I know. I have no clue. I'm with you. I mean, the guy's been in the NFL since 2009. That's cool and all. But you know, what do I really know who this guy is? So I don't know how to say it other than when I saw the hire yesterday, I shrugged my shoulders. But that's how I was gonna react to any of the hirings, whether it was Bieniemy or whether it was Sirianni or whether it was McDaniels, any of those guys.
I'll be real with you. If it was McDaniels, I would have been like, ew.
You would have been ew. I still would have shrugged my shoulders because I would have gone.
I mean, I would have talked myself into giving the benefit of the doubt.
Right.
But my first visceral, we always do morning thoughts, right?
Yep.
My first thought was, ew, McDaniels.
Yeah, my first thought was fiery personality. Maybe that jives with Wentz because it did when he had Frank Reich and all that stuff. But, you know, what do I know? And I'm not shrugging my shoulders in a negative way, but I'm not also doing it in a positive way. I just go, I know nothing about this dude. I look at the Eric Bieniemy situation, and I look at him coming out of Kansas City, and he didn't call plays, but neither did Sirianni, so it's not like I can get excited either way. So I look at it as a whole, and I go, all right, you know, let's see what the guy's got. He's been in the NFL for some time. You know, there are a lot of positive things that people are saying about him. It scares me that what you said in your opening monologue, that you've heard from people that maybe he could just be basically a puppet, which is what we just dealt with when it came to Doug Peterson.
Well,
and that scares me.
Yeah, you know, until Doug went, now I'm out.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Again, I don't know. He could be. I don't know. I mean, I think that's a part of the conversation, right? Until you see his own, like, here's what would make me feel better about that is that they're not hiring coaches. He's hiring coaches.
His guys, yeah, the guys that he
I
knows.
Hope that he's got tentacles around the league. Now, he's been three places.
Right.
So hopefully he's got tentacles around the league. And look, he was in Indianapolis. I'll tell you who his OC should be. All right? And I you know from this from before. I wanted Doug to hire this guy, Jim Caldwell. Right? I like him a lot. He should be the OC. I wanted Doug to have him as an OC. That guy is a really sharp dude. Now, he was sick. I heard he's better.
Right.
That's a guy I like to see.
I remember you saying that, like, last season.
Smart.
I remember you saying it.
So, I got a couple guys that talk about him with reverence.
Yeah.
About what a great offensive guy he is. So, he was an Indy, the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
He, Manning, the whole thing. Luck, he understands the whole. I think, you know, for any quarterback, not just Wentz, because one of the conversations we need to have is, look, I hope they didn't hire this guy to be a Wentz whisperer.
Right.
Like, he's got to be a good coach no matter who the
Period.
Quarterback is.
Right, exactly.
Because here's the bottom line. There's a very good chance, like a 1 in 3 chance, that the Eagles quarterback over the next 5 years is not on this roster. That's very real.
Yeah, if they stink the next couple of years and you can...
Not even the next couple of years.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's real issues with the two quarterbacks on the roster.
Yeah, Wentz could still... He could straight up suck, right? He could come out next season, he'd be terrible.
Right. And Hurts may not pan out. So, there's a chance that, hey, they don't have the quarterback on the roster. That's a very real deal. So, Nick Sirianni better be a really good coach.
Yeah, he better be. And, you know, I The only positive, you know how I always try to find the positives, right? So you say ew to Josh McDaniels. The only positive I could think of is, all right, that fiery personality. Right now, the only positive that I could find for Nick Sirianni, because again, we know nothing about this dude, is, all right, hopefully Frank Reich taught him some stuff in his 3 years there. And Frank Reich, obviously, that's when Carson had his most success. That's the only, and I'm reaching here. Right? I'm reaching. All right, here's the one positive I can possibly think of right now is hopefully he learned enough from Frank Reich when it came to handling a quarterback, and maybe Sirianni can rub off on Carson Wentz. That's all I got. That's what I got for you for positivity today.
Yeah, I am. I'm not ambivalent because I care deeply about the situation.
Right.
But I'm neutral. I don't have, my reaction is this. That.
Dead air.
Silence.
Yes.
That's my reaction. I don't know. The guy could be a stooge. Or the guy could be
Andy Reid.
A. Reid.
Yep.
Roman numeral two. I got no idea. Or, you know, one of these other dudes. I have no idea. Here's what I do know. He was OC in title only. He did not call plays. He's a first-year head coach. My only advice is, dude, you better have a great staff and a staff of veteran guys around you that know how to put things in place. Got it. You know, there's a reason why Andy Reid had Jim Johnson with him.
Right.
Right? Not only because he was a great defensive coordinator, but that was a guy that he can lean on.
Yeah, and one of those names could be Romeo Crennel, who was, he was the defensive coordinator, and then eventually, I think he was the head coach for 1 year with the Chiefs when Sirianni was there. Right, so that's one of those contacts he may have. He's, you know, he was just the interim coach for the Texans this year after O'Brien got fired, so maybe brings in Crennel.
Okay, good. I mean, you got to get as many former head coaches as possible. Yeah. I would want my former head coaches to be OC and DC. Telling you right now, I don't. It's the weirdest thing, man. I can't believe I'm struggling to come up with some, you know. I don't want to call it a take because sometimes takes are disingenuous.
Right, right.
And the one thing when we do the show is I like to be, I mean, I try to be as real as possible.
Mm-hmm.
I give you exactly how I feel without agenda. Yeah, I got opinion and my own root. Like, I root for this, root for that. But I look at this and I go, I don't know the guy. My father goes, thumbs up, thumbs down, Sirianni. And I,
you go sideways.
Seriously, you know, here it is. I don't know, man. I got no idea.
Yeah. And to me, the biggest problem.
I'm curious. Like, here's the thing. Now we're going to have a couple guests on today, right? Our first guest is Field Yates. Now he was with Sirianni and I'm curious. He raved about him in a tweet.
Right.
What I want to ask, because I don't know, like, what's his philosophy?
Who is this dude? Yeah.
Like, what's he believe in? What kind of system does he want to run? What does he believe in defensively? Like, I know nothing. I can't formulate a true opinion, because I don't know anything about him, other than hearsay. I can't tell you. Now, I don't know how you guys feel. I bare my soul. I tell you exactly. I'll go through the litany. Buddy Ryan, I loved. Now, he wasn't a good coach, but I loved everything about him. Coach Hite was a boob. Ray Rhodes, I loved from a fire and brimstone standpoint, but ultimately, he was more of a defensive coordinator. Andy, I loved. The idea of Chip Kelly, I loved. Turned out, and he had some great principles. Turned out he was a flaming a-hole and did not know the league. And those two factors crippled him. Peterson, I liked him as a dude, did not like him as a big thinker. This guy, I know nothing. I give you, you know, lettuce. The flavor of a head of lettuce. I have no idea. Maybe you guys can give us some insight. Maybe you guys have an idea. Or at least, this is what we do on the show. Give me your emotions. Tell me how you're feeling. 610-632-0975. And quite frankly, I'm stunned. It's 10:21. I look at the board. There's one call. I would think when the Eagles hire a new coach, that board's filled. And I'm sure we'll get there. But I think, if I'm right, you feel the way I do, which is you don't know how to feel. Cuz Radio Tunis, let's talk Parks. I was there last night. Parks Casino Street Road, Ben Salem. The fabulous 4 for 4 Sportsbook and Casino. Listen, when it comes to the hometown, oh, they got it all. When it comes to the 4 for 4 games and how you can bet on all that stuff. So you know, we got the 2 championship games coming up on Sunday, and there's a litany of ways for you to bet. However, I love that Parks offers all of the props. I love the props. We have Sixers Celtics Part 2 tonight, which is going to be a lot of fun, and I'm in on that. And we have the players. You ready? The props? Here you go. Man, this is amazing. So Joel Embiid's points, 24.5, right? That's what it was 2 days ago. Well, today on the Parks Sportsbook app, 26.5. Guess what? He's still going to go over. He is. I still like the over. Check out all that Parks has to offer. By the way, Ben Simmons' points over under, now down to 12.5. Oh, man. Check it out. Oh, they got everything. Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Go to parkscasino.com/PA. Download it. Use the promo. Sign up. Use the promo code FANATIC. You'll get a risk-free bet up to $500. Got to be in PA. You got to be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Let's talk a little morning thoughts.
Wake up, Philadelphia!
No! God, please, no! No!
Time now for morning thoughts.
Hey, lady! Shut up! Will you just shut your trap?
Shut up!
Please go away. Let me sleep for the love of God!
Because what were you thinking about this morning?
Alright, welcome to Morning Thoughts, where we divulge the first thing we're thinking because it's the most honest. Alright, I was thinking, what am I going to say about Nick Sirianni?
We may have had a similar thought.
Right? I go, I don't know. You know? I go, Nick Sirianni, I don't know what to say. How do I feel? Right? How do I feel? I don't know what to say. I want to be optimistic. Like, I want to believe that Nick Sirianni is everything we kind of think he could be if we look at it optimistically.
Right.
But I don't know what to say because I don't know. I hit up, I don't know, 10 people yesterday, like last night. So I woke up to a couple texts, and I got, I don't know. I don't know.
Great.
Like, I was like, all right. And then a couple other people go, yeah, well, you know, He might be easily controllable, unlike, say, Deuce Staley.
Okay. Now, a tweet that made me laugh yesterday, and I responded to it. It was from Jeff McClain and somebody that he spoke to about Nick Sirianni. He said, you know, hard worker, good guy, blah, blah, blah. And then in the tweet it said, categorize him as smart, fairly smart, but not that smart.
What? Really?
And I was like, that's my middle name. Andrew, fairly smart, but not that smart, Salchunas.
Smarter than Doug?
I would hope so.
All right.
But anyways, so I woke up thinking, who the hell is Nick Sirianni? That was one of my morning thoughts. But the other, and I didn't tell you about this, but I'm keeping track of something today. And I will tell you at the end of the show how many different ways people have said the name Sirianni on the show today.
Yeah, I got a couple. I heard a couple Sorianos, like Alfonso Soriano.
Yeah. So far on the midday program, Cuz Radio.
Yes.
Sirianni, which is two different ways to say it.
Hey, you know.
Hey.
It's like I've heard people say, now it's, pronounce my word, my name, Gargano or Gargano.
Well, it's still two pronunciations. But then also we have a Siriano so far today.
I heard the Siriano, so Alfonso Siriano.
That's the three we got so far, and I will keep track as the show goes on. Obviously, it's a lock that a Sirianni's will be mentioned at some point today.
Yeah.
All right. So that was morning thought 1B.
All right, my secondary thought was, damn, the Flyers are really good. I know they lost last night, and they blew the lead. But
Tuukka Rask was unreal.
He was. And listen, Boston controlled the third period.
Yes, they did.
Right. But I looked at the Flyers, I was like, oh, man. You know, their power play is lethal. And listen, Boston came all the way back, took the lead, right? They go from 2-0 to 2-2, 3-2 Flyers, 3-3, 4-3 Bruins, and then Flyers come all the way back, right, on the power play to tie it, and then they had a scintillating overtime.
They controlled overtime, but my God, right? Rask was just unreal.
He was. And he loses a shootout, but I was like, wow, that team is good.
Flyers losing a shootout? Shocker.
But they're good, man.
Yeah, they are a good team. They're a good team. Now, morning thought number two for me, Ant. I felt bad this morning. I was just thinking about the show yesterday, and I think I went a little far in the Simmons. I legitimately woke up this morning feeling guilty. Now, I will not change how I feel. I'm disappointed in how he's playing. I'm not just going to be patient. I was going back and forth with another Andrew on Twitter yesterday. He was upset with how hard I was on the guy. And
you were creepish.
Yeah, I know, and I feel bad about it. Now, he kept on saying, you got to be patient. I can't be patient anymore. I'm not saying get him out of here, trade him for a bag of balls. I'm not there. You've heard me. I say it's got to be Beal, Levine, or Harden, or he stays here. I'm not trading him for just anyone. But I can't go Cowardly Lion anymore. I played Wizard of Oz yesterday.
I know you did.
And I feel guilty about it.
Oh, but here's what's worse, is that you go Tin Lion, and I chastise you for doing that, and then they put me in a Ben cult.
Benanon.
Yeah, they said I was in Benanon, that I was in the Ben Simmons cult.
Yes.
Only because I didn't join you in the Tin Lion mock job. So, that's a bleep use.
Yeah, see, I felt like I legitimately woke up this morning. I was sipping my cup of coffee. I was like, it's probably a good thing the Sixers didn't play last night because I probably would have kept on going. I think I have a little clearer head today. Until he puts up like 10 tonight, maybe I go off tomorrow. But I went too far yesterday, and I would like to issue a public apology. Right. You still got to bring more.
Yeah, obviously.
But I went low-hanging fruit yesterday.
Obviously.
That's bad work by me.
All right, here it was. Morning thoughts.
I got one more for you, man. I keep bringing it. I got all kinds of thoughts. Should I grow the hair out?
No.
No?
You look like Ozark.
I'm watching a lot of hockey right now, and I see all the lettuce. Yeah. And yeah. I'm like, that must be nice.
All right.
Because I have...
Knock yourself out.
Last time I got my haircut was October 5th.
Really?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I don't really care what you do with your, you should never ask another man about your hair.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
oh, do I just keep going? Do I go hockey season? Lettuce.
Knock yourself out. Bro, like, my thing is this. Whatever makes you happy.
All right, thanks, man. All right? I appreciate it.
You know, I never judge another man on what they do. You know, do what you got to do, man. Right. I don't care. Yeah, I really don't care.
Thanks, so, man. I appreciate it.
Shave your hair, grow it out. God bless. Enjoy yourself.
I appreciate it, man.
That's your morning thoughts. That's the only thoughts I thought about was, who the hell is Nick Sirianni? What am I going to say? I have no concept. And this is the first time there's a story this big in Philadelphia. And I have nothing to say other than, I don't know. Three words. I don't know.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Joining us right now, we wanted to seek information. We asked the question, who is Nick Sirianni? And Field Yates, ESPN, kind enough to join us. And he knows Nick Sirianni, knows him very well. Good morning, Field.
What's going on, my man? I appreciate you having me on.
No, I appreciate you lending some of your wisdom here. So just first, blanketly, we saw your tweet. Yo, give us who Nick Sirianni is in a nutshell, brother.
Yeah. So just for those unfamiliar or didn't see the tweet. So Nick and I both got hired in Kansas City to work for the Chiefs in 2009. Nick was the offensive quality control coach right away. I started off as what we call an in-house scouting assistant. Sort of both of us on the bottom rung of the totem pole in the respective fields of football coaching and football scouting. And the quality control gig for a coach is a gateway. It's an opportunity to grow into something much greater, like an NFL head coach. It also is the least glorious position in probably the entire organization. And I don't want to say that I pinned Nick as the Eagles head coach in the year of 2021, the minute that I met him. But it was apparent to me that Nick was going to be a darn good head coach, or going to be a darn good coach for a long time in the NFL, and he was not your run-of-the-mill young football coach. So his responsibilities may not have been the most sophisticated on the staff at the time. He was breaking down crazy amounts of film. He was also doing things like, hey, if the offensive coordinator needs something, it's Nick's job. After the game, when we got home from a flight home, he would go back and do more hours of work to get ready for the prep for coaches that are breaking down the film the following day. But it was apparent a few things at that time. First of all, the guy had a unique work ethic. And I understand that in football, everybody works hard. I'm just telling you, there are different levels of hard work. And I saw that from Nick from a very early time. He was a teacher. As a matter of fact, I specifically recall him and I, because I was on the scouting side, he on the coaching side. He asked me a couple of times, can I bring you in and run through some of the stuff that we are doing on the coaching side that might help you understand what we're looking for a little bit better as coaches when you are working on the scouting side. He was a teacher. He was a guy that worked incredibly hard. And then you go and look at his trajectory from there. Spent a lot of time working with quarterbacks, obviously, and a lot of times working with wide receivers. And every group of wide receivers he's been with has been pretty darn good. Now, some of that's because he got really good players, but he did good things with a star like Keenan Allen. He did good things with T.Y. Hilton, who was resurgent down the stretch this year for Indianapolis.
Yeah.
And I would just say this. It's just that I understand.
I like what he did with Pitt. I like Pittman, too. I thought Pittman showed some.
Oh, Pittman. And he was great in the final game of the season for the Colts. I understand why head coaching hires are sized up the way that they are, right? I get it. Typically what happens is the person that is the most successful coordinator on the best team, specifically those that are calling plays, gets the most adulation, right? If you are hiring Brian Daboll this year after a great year with the Buffalo Bills, there's going to be a lot of excitement. And I understand that people are saying, well, this person didn't call plays. It's Frank Reich's job. Well, I would point to a couple of different things. First of all, let's look at some of the coaches that didn't receive much fanfare upon arrival in recent years. And I think none exemplifies this more than Matt LaFleur. When the Packers hired Matt LaFleur, not only was he the first coach hired in that cycle, but it kind of came out of nowhere. Everybody was like, they hired Matt LaFleur, the guy who has 1 year experience calling plays. And that year in Tennessee, they weren't very good. And Derrick Henry then was not the player Derrick Henry is now. I think it's worked out pretty well for Green Bay. And I know he has Aaron Rodgers, but the coach before Matt LaFleur had Aaron Rodgers as well. And they weren't dominating like they are right now. So I think ultimately a head coach criteria, you have to be able to run an offense if you're an offensive guy. You have to be able to run a defense if you're a defensive guy. But you got to be able to see all tentacles of the organization. You got to be able to handle offense, defense, special teams. You got to be able to communicate. You got to be able to empathize with players, relate to players, but also be able to be hard on them. And those are some of the traits that I think I saw from Nick early that obviously he's developed and his career has gone on and he's gone on to more and more success. But I think those are things that are going to serve him really well in a job that, listen, there's only 32 of them. They're all good. But we know that this is a difficult situation given the quarterback conundrum
right.
that any head coach hired was going to have to take on.
I got a bunch of things for you. And we're talking to Field Yates, ESPN. He came in with Nick Sirianni. He's been kind enough to lend us what he knows. And let's go to, well, is he a guy that is CEO-type material? The biggest fear is that, you know, Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman would run roughshod over a new coach. One of the things that happened at times with Doug Peterson, and ultimately, I think, why Doug's not here anymore. What kind of personality when it comes to kind of working with maybe a heavy-handed owner and GM?
Yeah, so I haven't worked with Nick in the times in which he was specifically required to be like the hammer dropper, right?
Right.
So, like, when you're an offensive quality control coach, it's not your job consistently to be riding on guys for missed assignments here or there, right? But you do some things where you have to be in command, right? And I think that I saw some of those shades from Nick at an early age. Sometimes, you know, we had 1 year when he was there as the offensive quality control coach where our offensive coordinator was in the box, was Charlie Weiss, was up in the box. He was not down
right.
on the field. So you know what? He was kind of an extension on it. And when Matt Cassel, our starting quarterback, didn't do what he needed to do, or there were some things that he had to get adjusted between series, Nick was that voice. So, you know, I think he's capable and equipped of doing so. And I don't want to make this job as simple as if Carson Wentz, or I guess Jalen Hurts, takes over as the full-time starting quarterback again and is, you know, a franchise quarterback, everything is fine. But in some ways it will be, right? In some ways, all the narrative and the discourse that we're having right now about the organization and harmony between the coaching staff and the front office and whether Carson is, you know, treated with too frequently with kid gloves or not, right? That all goes away if he plays well. And I know that 2019 in December of 2019 feels like a decade ago. But I also know that coaches are wired to, when they look at a player, frequently their instinct is, I can be the person that can bring out the best in that player. Because if you don't have what I call sort of that coaching competitiveness, you're not going to be any good in this league for a long time. I would guess that Nick is taking this job and saying, you know something? I get it that Carson was fractured this past year. And it's not that it won't be a competition. If Jalen Hurts plays amazing this offseason and training camp, whatever that looks like in the preseason, then sure, he has a chance to win this job. But I'm sure Nick is saying, you know something? That 2019 version of Carson Wentz, it might still be discoverable. And if he does,
yeah.
all the stuff about yeah. everything else that we're talking about, I don't say it goes away entirely,
yeah.
but it's just, it's a ripple as opposed to, you know, a volcano worth of impact.
Yes, I agree. Field Yates, ESPN on the Comcast Business Online, bounce forward. Do you know his philosophy offensively and defensively? What is he like to run? What type of offense does he believe in? What kind of defense does he believe in? Pressure type of defense? Where is it more of a fourth? And again, everybody's in nickel now most of the time. But what does he really look at when it comes to what his appetite would be as a for a defensive side of the ball?
Yeah, I want to make clear that I haven't spoken to Nick with, about this specifically.
I'm just asking you what you know.
No, I was just specific to this next point that I'm going to make is that my instinct is that Nick will find a defensive coordinator that he has. It's almost like Sean McVay in Los Angeles. What he did right away was he said, my strength is offense, your strength is defense. You are the defensive head coach, basically, right? And there have been several names linked to the Eagles on the defensive side of the ball. I think everybody should know the name now, Jonathan Gannon, a defensive backs coach from the Indianapolis Colts, who is all over the NFL map right now. Very, very hot in terms of a defensive coordinator candidate. He would be a name that I think will be logical to end up in Philadelphia. And if he does, Nick can basically say, you know something? It's all you, man. You got that. If you need something from me, no doubt I'm here. Within the game, if you need a timeout called, I'm here. I'm attending to it.
Yep.
But I think defensively, it's going to be hands-off. And then on offense, important to note that Nick has spent not every year of his career, but for much of the past 7 or 8 years, he was working with Phillip Rivers. And then you remember, of course, so he was with Phillip Rivers in Los Angeles / San Diego, and then ended up in Indianapolis with Frank Reich, where he worked with, you know, that was a smorgasbord of quarterbacks after Andrew Luck retired.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in some ways it's hard to say, like, all right, his philosophy is, you know, an offense that has a quarterback that can win within the pocket, and that's going to be, you know, the bones of it.
I didn't know if he's a West Coast guy or what he prefers from that standpoint.
I don't know that I would say there's been enough that we've seen specific to these past couple of years that I would say, all right, this is the go-to. This is the one, right? I think it's going to be, and I know these words get thrown around and fans probably want to puke because they've heard them so much, multiple, and, you know, we want to attack, we want to play fast and all those things. I would say that what this is going to be about is probably marrying some of the core beliefs that he had with Phillip Rivers most recently and also for a good stretch of his career. I would say that some of the words I think are going to have to be important that Carson Wentz gets used to, and Jalen Hurts for that matter, and proves he has, is toughness. I think you're going to have a short memory. One of the great things about Phillip Rivers in his career, which was a great, great career at that, is that, yeah, he made some mistakes, but Phillip Rivers was like a batter in the batting box. You know, he's like the guy that strikes out the first three at bats and then comes to the plate, bottom of the ninth, and smashes a home run, right? Short memory, toughness, mobile within the pocket, also outside of the pocket. And, yeah, I think you're going to see a run game that's going to look really good, too, because wherever Nick has been, for the most part, it's been a pretty solid running game as well.
Yeah, that's for sure. And I guess, lastly, any thoughts on an OC? Would he go with a guy, you know, that would be more of a veteran, former head coach, Jim Caldwell type, who's got, you know, who's been it before, someone he can lean on, that sort of thing?
Yeah, I don't know on that. It's a really, really good question. Because I was thinking about, like, who is the obvious candidate?
Right.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, again, not knowing these, but, like, you know, there's some coordinators or head coaches that he's worked with, that he's been exposed to, and we know it's relationship business, right? So Shane Steichen, the Chargers offensive coordinator, a young guy, he and Nick work, like, so closely that I don't know this, but when you've worked almost hand in hand with somebody, I don't know how the dynamic translates when all of a sudden one becomes a superior to the other. But I would imagine Nick is going to covet some experience only because he is 39, right? Like, and that's not something he can control. You can't control your age, but it would seem like
you probably have somebody.
And I was saying this even with Urban Meyer, like Urban Meyer is a great head football coach, never done it in the pros. It would behoove Urban Meyer to have some NFL experience on his staff. Only because as much as I think a lot of people believe he's going to do a good job there, you need some experience. So I would say that I don't know the offensive coordinator plan specifically, but experience would not surprise me at all based off of the need for some on any new staff.
Well, Phil, I got to tell you, thank you so much for your insight. It was a great conversation. We appreciate you, you know, taking some time.
Because
it's always, you get a guy that you don't know a ton about. And it's funny because throughout the NFL, like, there's half the league that doesn't even know who Nick is. That just don't know. Yeah. Right? I'm talking to a lot of guys in the league. They're like, I don't know the dude, you know? So, thank you.
Well, and also, I think it's important to remember a couple of things. First of all, you're right. But is exposure the most important thing? Like, is how much someone is known the most important thing? The answer is probably no. I think it's important to note, and I'm not trying to, like, you know, get too far into how the sausage is made, but as you well know, and I think a lot of the listeners, but just to reinforce to the listeners, is that, you know, think about how this head coach and GM process works. A lot of times we're hearing about the buzzworthy names, about guys who are coordinators or assistant head coaches, and it's like, how do we know about a lot of these guys? In a lot of cases, you know, there's certainly an influence of agents here, right? And, like, how much you sort of play the game, right? I think Nick's name, I think he's a guy that is just sort of focused on football. And I think that, and that's, by the way, that's not to take away from the merit of people that are hired. They're not exclusively hired by, because of who they are represented by. But we know that a lot of the information in the public sphere is generated. People have to have conversations with those in influence. I think Nick has been a focus on the football kind of guy. And he had one interview during this process, during this cycle. One, right? Just one. He must have done enough to really impress the people that are making this decision. So if you have one, and there were, what, seven total vacancies, and this job came together, I would say, fairly quickly, right? I mean, I think it was like 4 days between the initial interview and the first report. I think that speaks to probably how impressive he must have come across to with Howie Roseman and Jeffrey Lurie and everybody else involved. So I know that there's going to be a little bit of a – I know right now – there's not as much benefit of the doubt given to the Eagles front office as there has been in previous years. I get that. I'm not naive to it. I'm sure the Eagles aren't naive to it. My general thoughts are that, you know something, this is someone who's preparing his entire life. He comes, both of his brothers are head football coaches at high school and college level. Like, this is kind of what I think he was born to do, was be a head coach. And I think Eagles fans have something to look forward to right now.
That sounds great. Thank you, brother. Listen, Field, have a great weekend, buddy. Thank you.
Of course, appreciate you having me on. We'll talk again soon.
Definitely. Here he is, Field Yates, ESPN, with some insight into Nick Sirianni.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
All right, to find out a little bit more about Nick Sirianni and what's being said around the NFL, let us go to Mike Garofolo, South Philly Zone, on the NFL Network. Hello, Mikey.
Guys, can I take a 20 right off the top? Because I just sat down to see Paul Domowicz's tweet saying, farewell to, at least on their end, to our guy Pat McLoon with the Philadelphia Inquirer. I've just texted Pat. You were talking about a Philadelphia newspaper institution, as I just tweeted. Pat McLoon is just a wonderful guy and the guy behind a lot of the stuff that you've been reading, sports-wise and otherwise, in the Philly region for decades.
Oh, my God. I'm stunned. I didn't know about that.
Yeah.
Pat has been a regular on the show. He is – I love Pat. I first met Pat in 1991. I was at Temple. 1990? Yeah. I don't know. I mean, and what a great, great man. Wow.
Hey, and by the way, he's not dying.
I know, but the fact that he's retiring is... You broke the news to me.
Pat is a wonderful guy, and, he's not dying. He's not going away, and, here's to the next chapter for a guy who's done so much for sports in Philadelphia. Pat, we love you. I just had to say that off the top. Hey, listen, by the way, he's the one that recommended me for the job with the New York Star Ledger covering the Giants in 2004.
Yeah,
which it was he. It was a couple of gigs and why I'm on the air right now.
It was the two of us. I remember.
Yeah, so Pat, I love you, and you're the man, brother. And, yeah. And here's to the next chapter for you.
Amen, brother. Amen. Wow. All right, Mike, just because I got like 5 minutes and I'm going to try to get as much as I can. Tell me about Sirianni and what they're saying around the NFL.
Yeah, he kind of snuck up on a lot of folks in this search. And I don't know that when they started this, that this was their number one guy. I know he interviewed well. I know the second day was because of what, you know, folks had mentioned, which was he just happened to be in Florida at the time. And, you know, he could only devote so much time on the first day, so he had to come back the second day. But we started to get the word yesterday that it was McDaniels. Too many Micks in my head. McDaniels and Sirianni. I don't know, to me, a lot of folks say, well, Josh is not going to leave New England. I don't know if that's the case. I think that at some point he very well might. So I don't know that it was, you know, well, you know, McDaniels bowed out or something like that. It was, you know, they were impressed with Sirianni. I know he hasn't called plays, but, you know, a lot of guys that get this gig haven't called plays. I'm not too worried about that part. At least with respect to his ability to be a head coach. Now, let's see if he does call plays. That'll be a new skill for him that he's got to prove that he can do. But he seems like he's a young, energetic guy, and someone today described him to me as a bit of a bleep hole, which was actually a compliment because it means he's got a little bit of an edge. And you got to have an edge as a head coach, and I know that accountability is something that a lot of folks think that the Eagles locker room needs right now. So we'll see if he's able to bring it.
Was Deuce Daly ever considered seriously?
I don't think so. I mean, how many times can you do this and interview a guy and not make him a coordinator and not hire him to be a head coach and say, yeah, we can. I mean, I just, for whatever reason, they didn't think of him as head coach material here. And I know that a lot of folks in that locker room and in the organization think that he might, you know, that if he gets that shot, he might be able to do it. But I never got the sense, no, that it was serious.
I heard the term, you know, he could be a bit of a bleep hole. I get it. Any bit of his philosophies, like, what is it about him? Is there anything like that you know? Like, I was reached out to a bunch of people, and I got a lot. I don't know the guy. I got a lot of that.
Yeah, he's kind of a, you know, and I don't know that that's a, you know, should be considered as a negative, because, you know, a lot of times these guys are, you know, like Robert Saleh. You knew what he was about, right?
Right. I'm just talking about going through a lot of coaches that I know, and a lot of people know who he is, know him. And right, I don't know if it's a negative. I'm just trying to figure out what the dude's about. Like, what is full offense? What is he like? What's in his head going forward?
I'll say this. My impression is that he's quarterback friendly, and that the guys that have played for him at that position and worked with him really do like him a lot. Whether it's Philip Rivers or Jacob Eason, who's the young guy in Indianapolis right now, and the guys that have been around him when he's with the Chargers and elsewhere, I gather that the quarterbacks like him a lot, and so he thinks like them. He understands them. Hell, he's got a challenge on his hand at that position right now, no matter what the heck shakes out. So I'm sure that that was a huge part of it for the Eagles right now, because they know that they've got, you know, no matter what, they've got a situation at that position that needs to be shaken out.
Mike Garafolo, NFL Network, with us on the Comcast Business Hotline. What role does Wentz have in this whole situation, Mikey?
None. You mean in the hiring of Sirianni?
Well, I mean in the specter of fixing Wentz or Wentz's future. What role did that play in the Eagles going with Sirianni?
Let's start with this. If they intend to trade Carson Wentz, they are doing a hell of a job of carrying out the fake, because that was a part of the whole process that they talked to all these candidates. I checked with a bunch of them. I checked with the agents of a bunch of them if I couldn't get to the actual candidates or whatever. And I was told that every indication from what Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman told them was that they plan to bring Carson Wentz back. And they want the next head coach who would have a say in how the situation is going to be handled, as far as if both guys are there, you know, how you're going to handle the competition or whatnot. But their intention is to bring Wentz back. They believe it is salvageable. They believe he can get back on the same track. Now, by that same token, he was not consulted. I think he may have been kept abreast
as to what was going on there. But it's not like Wentz was involved in this process like Deshaun Watson wants to be involved in Houston or any of that stuff. But he was in the back of their mind in the conversations that they had and again, and them making it clear that they want to bring him back and they think that he can still be the quarterback of this team going forward.
Mikey, the saga never ends, buddy. So
it's no, and then what I can't figure out is how do you bring them both back, right? I mean, if you're really going to salvage Wentz, how do you bring Wentz back with Hurts there? And I'm not saying that Hurts deserves to be traded or anything negative toward Hurts. I'm just saying in my head, how in God's name is that going to work?
But here's the thing, though. I mean, you know. How many times are you going to bend over backwards for the guy? First of all, it was a bad pick. We all know that. But he's here. And, you know, it's not like, you know better, you know as well as I do. It's not like you're going to go get a second round pick for Jalen Hurts.
No, you're not.
Right, exactly. So what now? I got to lose. I gotta make the, it makes the pick worse by, I got to get rid of this kid.
Well, you
because
drove,
I got to worry about that, about Wentz's psyche, the fragile egg.
Like they tell you, as soon as you drive the car off the lot, you lose X amount of value. Right? It's that kind of. At that point, I mean, you know, you want to cut your losses or whatever. And I'm not saying that you have to. What I'm saying to you is, if that's your intention to bring Carson Wentz back, how do you think it's going to work with both of those guys?
I'm sorry. I got to try it, and I got to tell Wentz, yo, dude. I need you focused, and if you're focused and you're working on your mechanics and you're playing well, what a kid's a backup.
Okay, that's a huge part of it, at least 50% of it. What's the other 50 or so? How's the rest of the locker room going to react to that?
First of all, you're going to gut half the locker room anyway because the thing needs to be retooled. But beyond that, you know, if you're winning, they're cool. If you're not, then that's when you got the issue. If he's not playing well, then everybody will know it.
And let me bring it back to the start of this conversation, by the way. If you're Sirianni, you better be a bit of a bleep hole if you think you're going to be able to handle this situation.
I agree.
Okay?
I agree,
so
Mikey.
That's part of it.
Great stuff, brother. Thank you. We love you. Have a good weekend,
right,
buddy. Take care. Mike Garofalo, NFL Network, with us on the Comcast Business Outline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.